Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Sonoma County and...
And friends. Sonoma County and friends.
Marin County.
Yeah.
As well.
So one thing I didn't realize until you told me a long time ago, and I think maybe a lot of people don't realize, is that Sonoma County Wine Growers also represents little parts of Marin County that have vineyards and ranches.
Yeah, since we're a wine grape commission, we actually follow crush districts. We are technically crush district 3, which is Sonoma and Marin counties. Mm-hmm. So last week we had a guest on from Petaluma Gap that kind of dips down into Marin. And, you know, we have about 58,000 acres of vineyards in Sonoma County and about 200 acres of vineyards in Marin, so it's quite small in the world as sort of the grape growing that we represent. But for a long time, we actually had one of our board members who had Devil's Gulch Vineyard down in Marin, and it would be really funny. He would take all of our, I guess, vests and paraphernalia we'd create that would say Sonoma County on it, and he would stitch on it Baja Sonoma. So he considered Marin County Baja Sonoma.
That's really funny.
Which I thought was quite clever, and actually maybe there's a whole marketing campaign around that we should be doing. So shout out to you, Mark Pasternak. So I just thought that was brilliant. But yeah, so Devil's Gulch is down there, Stubbs, there's, you know, I think a few other wineries. But yeah, Skywalker Ranch, obviously probably most notable. McAvoy Ranch.
Yep. So all of these are really, you know, what would be considered West Marin County, sort of Point Reyes area, Tomales Bay area.
Yes.
Very cold.
Yep.
A lot of people did feel that too cold. I remember,
a little too cold.
You know,
yeah.
The McAvoy story was always that they were told it was too cold for olives, too cold for wine. And look at them
now. I was going to say, and shining stars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I mean, our guest today actually is a rancher in both Sonoma and Marin counties. And I mean, you think about all the dairies down there, all the great cheese we get from Marin County, which goes very well with Sonoma County wine and Baja Sonoma wine, otherwise known as Marin County wine. Yeah.
I love that. I really think I think there's something there.
I think so. Maybe that could be a good stuff column you could do.
Baja
Sonoma. And a nice nod to Mark Pasternak there.
Yeah. So, and he was also a really, he was famous not just for wine grapes, but
for rabbit.
For raising
he
very
raised
fancy rabbits for food.
Yeah, for food. A lot went to the French Laundry and many Michelin star restaurants that he worked with. And he was always also down at the farmer's market a lot in San Francisco, kind of down on the wharf. So very Renaissance sort of guy, I think, that Mark Pasternak.
Very Marin.
Very Marin.
I would
say.
There
you go.
Very Marin slash Baja.
Yes. Baja Sonoma.
Love that. All right. Well, when we come back, we will introduce our guest who can speak to this Baja-ness. On The Good Stuff. Joining us on today's Good Stuff in studio, we have the one, the only
celebrity,
Joe Posey of Posey Ranch.
We've only been trying to get you in here, Joe, for like, I don't know, probably a year now.
It's been a while. So, I'm happy to be here.
Yay. We're happy to
You must be busy.
Well, he's a farmer. So
I know,
that's a
he's a farmer, so always busy.
There's always something to do, and unfortunately, schedules change.
Yeah.
And that's happened a few times when we were trying to get some scheduling done here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we're happy you're finally here.
Well, thank you.
Oh, and I mean, let's dive in. You are fourth generation sheep cattle rancher in Sonoma and Marin County. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. Take us back. Tell
okay.
us how it all started.
Yeah, how it started.
How'd your family get here?
A lot of history. It's fun. I love history, and I love the heritage of agriculture in this region, and I'm proud to be part of it and to continue the legacy on in the sense of ranching. Family immigrated from Ireland and Italy in the late 1800s. Just as a recap, settled into the Occidental area, milking cows. We had cows. So everybody came from old country, had cows in the old country, and that's what they did here. Had some grapes as well, way back in the old days. We still have a cellar up in the old hills there with some barrels that are in it.
Yeah,
from the early 1900s.
Field trip.
Anyway, so that's kind of cool. But no, ranching has always been in our family's blood. And my grandmother was born in 1900 in Coleman Valley, the old house there. She went to Ursuline School, boarding school. Back in the teens. Huh. When she got married to my... my grandfather Ed Posey, they moved to Valley Ford and started milking cows there on a small ranch, and that's where I grew up. That's where I was born in 1962. We always had a dairy up until the mid 70s, and in the mid 70s, you either had to get bigger or change. And we always had cattle, or sheep and beef cattle, and you know, we didn't have any labor, so my dad was milking cows twice a day for 40 years. Got kind of tired, so we converted over into the sheep and cattle, and that's when I started getting more involved at that age into the cattle and sheep business, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Mm-hmm. In your grandparents' era, was the milk staying kind of local? Was it going to San Francisco? Like, what was happening?
Yeah, a good question. It stayed in the area and in San Francisco, and all the little towns had creameries. So everybody who milked cows you called it cans. How many cans you shipped? Because every morning you'd fill up cans, 10-gallon cans of milk, load them on a truck, drive them to the creamery.
Before there were those big tankers that pull up now.
Yeah,
right?
That didn't happen until after World War II in the 40s, late 40s and 50s. So before that, and you could see some of the old cans in antique shops around here. They're literally, you rolled them on the truck, and you'd have 60 cans or 80 cans or 100 cans, and you'd haul them to the creamery, unload them, and then you take a set of clean cans home and milk and fill them up the next day. So you're constantly back to the creamery, and in the creamery, that's where they would process that milk into whole milk or into cheese and to other products, and a lot of it would go down to the city and the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And what we had in our area early, you know, from the, what opened up our area was a railroad. They built a railroad from the Larkspur area up into Casadero, called the Narrow Gauge or the Redwoods, and that was a railroad that took a lot of commodities, lumber and dairy products down up until I think 1933, and then at that point the roads started getting better and there was trucks and they started transporting it with trucks. But that really opened up our area in the West County at the beginning of the time. It was kind of cool. There's still some old remnants of the railroad tracks.
So you can see it
out there. Which is kind of neat to see. But so that was what we, you know, the dairies were a big thing, and everybody had a small dairy. Before the 40s, nobody left the farms, pretty much. You stayed there, you grew your feed for your cattle, you grew your, you know, your feed for yourself, in a sense, where you had chickens and you had guinea hens. You had all the different animals that you needed to survive.
Yeah.
They didn't get electricity in our house or out to our home ranch until 1948. So it was kerosene oil lamps and generators to function, and that's how it was, you know. And then after my dad was in the service, and when he came home, decided we needed to see more light, and that's what we did.
He's like, there are other places in this world that look
different.
Exactly.
There's benefits to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, from what you learned from your grandparents and parents, like, what was it about Western Sonoma County, West Marin, that made it so good for dairy?
Well, it's very fertile ground, and it's fertile ground. And the reason they settled here, it looks similar to their area in Ireland and Italy. And Ireland, my family settled in from the Wexford areas. From Italy, it was in the northern Italy, Lake Como, a little town of Colico is where they came from, and it was similar ground. It was similar, and you had somebody over here, so they learned and they say, hey, come on over. And back then you had to be sponsored. So like my great-great-grandfather, Carlo Posey, when he came in, he was sponsored by G.P. McNear out of Petaluma. And he was 14 years old. And he came over and he worked here on a dairy in Bloomfield. And then went back after about 8 or 9 years, went back to Italy, got married back there to Carmelia Di Bernardi, and then came back after and then settled in. So there's a lot of adventures and such, but they like the country because it's again, fertile ground, grasslands, and rolling hills. Cold for vineyards, but it's great for growing pasture, and that's what we've done. So that's what we specialize in, is taking that pasture, that grass, and converting it into the animals of our meat trade now, and the wool as well.
I know. Well, I'm just laughing. There's these names that are definitely mainstays of Sonoma County ag history that you were just over there throwing around. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's interesting because when you go to Northern Italy and Ireland, it's small communities. And again, these small communities, they didn't get around too much back then, and they still don't. You stay close to home. So they would come here, and word travels. Hey, this is a really good area. Mm-hmm. There's another farm close by, or there's somebody that needs help. Could you come over and help? Mm-hmm. And they would. And then they begin this, the whole migration of immigration of the Europeans into the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were the melting pot, and we continue to be the melting pot of the world in a sense of opportunity. And there were great opportunities that came along. And those that wanted to work hard and make a go of it, they were able to do that. Some chose to do other things. Work for somebody else. Our family, bought land and decided to build businesses, and that's what they did. And it's worked out well. It's hard. It's challenging. All facets of agriculture are challenging, and the transition from one generation to the next, or one business to the next. But you persevere and you keep it going. So that's what we've been able to do.
So did you know you were gonna stay farming and continue that legacy, or did you have other thoughts, like dreams of playing baseball in the big city or something, or was it always farming?
I'm fortunate, and I know some people it takes a while to figure that out, and I'm fortunate. I loved what I did growing up. Our family, when we had the dairy and then even at the beef and sheep, I have eight siblings, so there's a lot of kids running around out there, and we all had a job, we all had a function, and I loved it. I just loved being on the ranch, building stuff, working things, taking care of animals. So that was just something that came naturally to me. So I didn't have to look around and try to figure it out. Yeah. And there was always something to do, a lot of work to do. So there was, never ending, as it always is. But on the other hand, you're building something. You're building hopefully a legacy, but also building a business and building, a way of life is what it is. It's pretty much a way of life. So
what number are you in the eight?
I'm right in the middle. I'm four.
Number four. Okay. All right.
Four older sisters and then two and two below me. So I'm right in the middle.
Right.
So we
have. How many of the siblings have stayed in ranching? Anybody?
A couple of them have. Yeah, others have gone on to do teaching and nursing and other businesses, and then I stayed in it and do my business, and a couple other siblings have done the same. Mm-hmm. So we all do our own thing as far as our businesses, but it's just great. It was great to have the opportunity and to build something. With it, though, as you go along, you realize you can't do it as your great grandfather did or your father. You have to look for opportunities, and that's what I was able to do as I went along as well. But for the beginning, it was it was just being on the ranch, all the time, just working, enjoying it, but working. Went to Tamales High School down here in Tamales, which is Northern Marin, because we're right in that area of Northern Marin and Western Sonoma County. From there, went on to junior college. It's a couple of years of Santa Rosa Junior College, mm-hmm. which was a great start as far as further education. And what that did for me, it just, first day into a class, you're out there, you're kind of sheltered in your ranch, and then you realize there's so much more to learn. And that's what I was able to see. And spent 2 years there, went off to Chico State. Went up there because I just love the northern part of the state. Was on our livestock judging team, where you travel a lot to be able to see other places. Graduated from there in 84. Did a Kellogg Foundation leadership program, which was again another great program, and then continued ranching. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, that's what I've been doing. There's a lot to that. It's been a great opportunity.
What did you feel what did you have to learn the most, you think? Did you gravitate toward more like science or business or technology? Like, what were you trying to figure out that you didn't already know?
Well, that's a good question, because when you're growing up on a spot and you think you know enough, I have everything I need right here. It's all right here in front of me.
Well, you're the expert in that place.
Exactly.
You didn't know how to do that job.
But you also realize how small that little place is.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's like, wow, there's so much more to learn. All the things you've just mentioned, the science, the technology, as far as the science, the new ways of working animals and raising animals, the land, the conservation component of it. All of those things are so important when you're in it, in a business. There's always so many things in the businesses. It really taught me how to network. you know, how to mm-hmm. network with community, with individuals, with organizations, to find out answers for things, or to help, or be part of other things. You know, part of a community is what it's all about, I think. So those are all things that were part of the educational part of my life, I guess, that I was so fortunate to take advantage of. Mm-hmm. Could have easily just stopped and went back to the ranch and just did my thing, which is fine too. But it opened so many doors to what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Well, you've been quite innovative. Let me use that word, because I'm looking around at all these products we have sitting out here. So you really took ranching and something you love on the farming side, ranching side, but you've built actually sort of a consumer business out of that as well, which I think is really fascinating, not as typical.
You're right.
So talk a little bit about that.
It isn't as typical. And when I graduated out of college, it was like, all right, here I am working and you know, got this ranch, got a family ranch. Okay, get back home and work. Okay, well, pretty soon you realize that you have to have a second job to supplement what you're doing on the ranch, and that's like that's not right. You know, you work all year to sell your product, and then you have to go do a day job to supplement what you just worked for all year. So I always said there has to be other ways, and I always said kind of tongue in cheek. I said, well, before I go broke, I'm going to try to do anything I can to see what I could do, and I have to say these opportunities showed up, and again, I always say, yep, when the opportunity shows up, you got to open the door and be ready to take it. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to some of my programs too. I was too small. You know, I run about 1,200 acres, but even that, it's too small to compete in a lot of the bigger businesses. So it's like, how could I add value to the product that I'm selling? How could I want somebody who's a consumer want to buy this product and be able to pay a premium for it and want to come back to buy it again? And so that was always been my philosophy, is how do I make that connection? So I'm doing things that are a lot different than your traditional staying on the ranch every day. I wish I could, you know, I wish I could be on the ranch every day to do things, but
we have a photo of you here on your tractor and you look pretty happy.
Yeah, I am. That's my happy place.
You look like my husband when he's on the tractor.
Yeah, it's like just leave me alone. Just let me stay out here all day long. Uh-huh. You know, not too many things going on. It is a happy place. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn to understand that that's really important. You know, it's important to find that happy place, whatever it is in your life, you know. And so but on the other hand, got to get out there. So started working other opportunities that came along. One was wool, which we have some products here for. And when you look at the sheep, when you talk about the business of sheep, mm-hmm. and the business side of it, it takes about $6 to shear a sheep, okay, the physical, mm-hmm. which is worth every penny because it's hard work to get that wool off of that sheep. Well, I take that wool and there's 10 pounds of wool, and I get 12 cents a pound for that wool. So that's like $1.20. So you're shearing a sheep for $6. You're getting paid $1.20 for the product you're getting off of it.
You didn't need to go to school to realize that's not a good deal.
I learned that math a long time ago, and it's not very good. So you say, okay, what could I do with this? You know, what can I do mm-hmm. to make this a better opportunity? And those things came along. So those things came along, and I was able to start to build on those. And that is, again, added value to something that, again, you get it to a point where a consumer is looking for it. Mm-hmm. You try to pull it through the chain instead of pushing it. So it's been a great opportunity. For that, and you know, I could talk about some of the products that we've come together with, you know, that made it happen. So it's been really good.
No, I want to dive into all the products.
Yeah, I know. No, I do too. We have to take a quick break, but and I'm also just curious, like the need for a second job, is that new to your generation, or did your parents also have that pressure?
Yeah, a lot of people did. Agriculture is challenging as far as the commodity mm-hmm. price that you get to sell off of your ranch. You know, you're usually a price taker. You have to take a price, and then you have to give your product away, in a sense. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge because you're always at that bottom of the pit trying to get out of it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, with that, we will take a quick break and be right back on with Joe Posey. Stuff with our guest Joe Posey, owner of Posey Ranch, and you were telling us a little bit about having to create all these products and seizing the opportunities that were presented for you. So talk about that. Like how, you know, what were some of the first things
that
you...
What doors opened?
Yeah.
That's a really good point. And I have a couple different items or products. So I'm going to talk about the wool first. Because in 1994, so here I was getting out of college and working away. And again, sometimes it's a terrible thing to be in meetings or volunteering, but sometimes it pays off.
Yeah.
And here I was at a meeting. I was at a meeting with local wool growers, and this lady came in and said, "Hey, I want to buy local wool for bedding products." And I was like, and here we all kind of thought, well, she wants to buy maybe 10 or 15 pounds of wool and make a mattress.
Right.
Okay. So we all kind of scoffed at her, said, okay, whatever, you know, and then went back to talking about coyotes and all the problems in the industry. And again, this was 1994, so it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And, but I just took it upon myself. She had a showroom in Sebastopol. And I said, well, I'm going to go over there and just take a look, talk to her. What the heck? So I drove over there and I go into her showroom, and here she has a bed that's like $2,500 for this mattress. And I said, why is this so expensive? And she goes, well, it has wool in it. It's wonderful. And as on a ranch, when you're selling product and you're at the farm gate, you don't really delve into what they do with it. You just sell it and you go on and do your job again. So I was like, okay. So anyway, I said, well, I have some wool. I could, you know, ship you some wool.
You're like, for a $2,500 mattress,
yeah,
I got a lot of wool
that's worth, you know, 12 cents a pound on the ranch. I could do something with this. So anyway, so I just, it was so funny because then you start making phone calls. You start delving into details. And so I called my friends at Pendleton Woolen Mills, who are still my great friends. I shipped them up some wool. They had it scoured, which means washed and clean. Then I found a carding mill in Oakland. So I went down there to Oakland and they carded it, which made it into these bats. And then, you know, I walk in there and it's like, this guy, Bob Starr, goes, hey, there's your wool, Joe. And I go, are you sure? Because it looked beautiful. And I thought, well, our wool never looks that good. So here it was. I took it to this individual, and she made these comforters. Like I have a sample one here. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, she said, this is beautiful. I want to buy more. So we did. We went from, you know, 30 pounds of wool to 30,000 pounds of wool that she wanted.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And then on pricing, it was like, okay, I'm getting 12 cents a pound for this wool. And we just sat down at a table like we are here. And she goes, Joe, I like this wool. How much, you know, what kind of money do you want for it? And I just said, well, how about 75 cents a pound? And she goes, that sounds great. You know, and I go, man, I should have said a dollar.
Yeah, right.
But the point being, you know, we just all of a sudden created a business model. And the thing we did along with it, though, is we developed a standard called Pure Grow Wool Standard. So it was a standard that there weren't any standards throughout the United States on wool, on how to raise the sheep, how to handle the sheep, the welfare aspects of the sheep, this kind of soap we use to wash the wool, all these standards that we could take to a bedding company and say, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it was catching the eye of the consumer. There's this label, Pure Grow Wool, that we trademarked. So all of a sudden, here's an opportunity that just went nationwide and up into Canada. So we went from 20 pounds of wool to 30,000 pounds to about 400,000 pounds of wool a year that we were selling for years. And it was a wonderful opportunity. And it just, the timing was perfect because wool is such a great fiber. And it, all the Gore-Texes of the world have tried to mimic it all year, all their life about, you know, wicking away moisture and keeping you cool and keeping you warm. Well, wool does it all the time. So we always felt that we had an opportunity here. Mm-hmm. So we continued to grow it. Then in 2014, we decided to start our own company because at this point I was just selling to other companies constantly, which was great. But we said, you know, we have an identity and we have a story here. So we started this Sonoma Wool Company. And our tagline is Rediscover the Wonders of Wool, which again is just educating the consumer about the benefits of wool and how great it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we've developed a great market on this. And so we have our own vertically integrated line from our sheep through the milling. We mill it in a mill back in Sanford, Maine, and then we market it throughout the United States on e-commerce. And the type of wool we have, it's not the type of wool you're going to use for a suit or a dress. It's a real fine wool. There's a lot of differences in your type of wool.
Okay.
So this is a coarse wool based on the type of sheep we need to raise here. So with that coarse wool, it's ideal for comforters or batting or for felted products that we use for like dish drying mats or insoles for shoes. So we catered our wool to a market that was conducive to it. And it's been wonderful. It's been great. So that's what we do. So we ship this wool again. It's a mailing list that we've continued to build over the years, and we ship it every day to people across the United States.
The woman who was doing the mattresses, where was she getting the wool before? Like, what was her plan?
She was just getting it back in 1994. She was just getting it from local mills, yeah, like in Texas around. And everywhere she could find it. Yeah. So she wanted to develop a local entity, which she did, and it was a great opportunity to open the door and to get it going. Yeah. So again, we started our company, the Sonoma Wool Company, in 2014, and continue to develop products, but most of them are household bedding type products. And again, wool, when you start to learn about it, it's an amazing product. It wicks away moisture, it regulates heat, it's a naturally biodegradable product. There's zero chemicals in it, which is a big thing. Yeah. Prior to this, and this was the ironic thing, in the 50s, everybody was, you know, smoking cigarettes, and there you'd put your cigarette on your bed or your couch, and you'd burn up, you know, you'd get caught. Yeah. So all of a sudden, the government was going to step in and help, you know. So they said, let's stop people from burning up. So let's put fire retardants in any kind of upholstery or any kind of bedding. We need fire retardant. Well, they did. So the bed doesn't burn up, but it's a terrible carcinogen. It's terrible. So in the late 1990s and 2000s, they realized that this was a bad deal. Huh. So they start phasing it out. Well, that's where wool came in and was a perfect fit, because wool does not burn. It'll smolder, but it will not ignite. Huh. So it's a natural fire repressant. So it fit perfectly as far as that part of it too. So we just have used a lot of this opportunity in our marketing to be able to tell people again how great wool is and the products that you could use from it. And our company is the Sonoma Wool Company that we use to develop this.
That's an amazing story.
So that's right. The wool. And we can hop into the lamb.
But I want to just recognize, I mean, you just spent the last part of this whole segment talking about something that really has not very little to do with your day-to-day farming side, but it's a whole business. It's marketing, it's accounting, it's transportation and shipping and customer. I mean, I think, you know, folks don't realize that today's farmer looks very, very different than, you know, your grandparents.
Oh, very much so. And you talked about the tractor earlier, and, you know, I'd love to be on my tractor all day. And it's just, you just can't do it. I'd love to, but you can't. We're constantly, you know, on the phone with good things, you know, talking to the mills, you know, because wool has to get shipped from here to Texas and then from Texas to Maine and sometimes back to LA. And in between, you're working with growers, you know, buying this wool because I don't have enough, so we buy from other growers. And then you're working on, you know, the quality control and the mills and how are they doing. And, you know, next week I'll be at a mill in Oakland, California here where we'll be, you know, running some new wool and testing it. So you're constantly working on those types of programs. And then you have a marketing team. We have a marketing team that we meet with constantly to develop stories or, you know, new photo shoots. And, you know, when the lambs are being born, you know, we do all that kind of work as well. So there's a lot of work to it. Yeah. But on the other hand, it keeps me in the business. You know, it gives me opportunities that I want to have in the business of agriculture. And that's what it's about. Yes, it's diversifying. It's doing things so differently. But, you know, my great grandparents and my parents, they did it their way because it worked then. And it was successful, very successful. Yeah. But it had to change, you know, and it changed in a good way. You know, it was able to build businesses, build land mass, and continue to expand. Not expand to a point where you're huge, but expand to where you're comfortable and secure.
And sustainable,
And doing it with agriculture. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing, is doing it with agriculture.
Well, so then talk about the lamb.
The lamb again, another opportunity where I was with the Farm Bureau, and an individual came up and said, "Hey, somebody's looking for grass-fed lamb." And I said, "Well, I got lamb. It's grass-fed. That's a match."
Yeah, you're like, easy.
And so that was Whole Foods. They were looking for a market for the local Whole Foods. So that opened up a door. That was back in 2006 or 5. Mm-hmm. You know, been doing it for over 21 years now with Whole Foods. And they wanted a local product because they were getting their lamb, and they still get it from New Zealand. They import a lot of lamb from New Zealand. But they wanted a local product. So I went and met with them and said, "Hey, you know, what do you want?" "Well, we'd like to have this lamb, and this is what we want to do." So we started that. We started, I again went to the slaughterhouses and to where they harvest them and talked to them and made a deal with them on how to process it, and then started to develop the relationship with Whole Foods in the stores. And that was been a great adventure, a great opportunity. But you know, we have shelf space in over 58 stores in Northern California with our local lamb. So that's been a great thing. But it's been so many countless hours doing demos in the stores, cooking lamb. having, you know, individuals, including owners of Whole Food, out to the ranch, talking to them about the soil, about the animal welfare, about why we raise them this way. All kinds of great opportunities. Again, marketing and networking and sharing everybody to sharing the story with everybody about our lamb and how important it is to get a healthy, wholesome product to the consumer directly from our ranch.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back on. Joe Posey Ranch, and wow, you've got a lot going on. So
this, I know this is why we had a hard time getting him on the show. It's all very clear.
Very clear. So maybe we should talk about, I mean, you've come up with all these great products. You've done, you're out in the marketplace a lot, it sounds like, sort of figuring out what's next. But you also do, you have a lot of leadership roles.
Highly involved in the community.
Yeah, so more like mentoring next generation. Tell us a little bit about some of the other things that you do.
Well, yeah, and that's, and I guess that's part of the fabric of being in a community. I always say you should contribute to society. That's always the kind of a thing in my head. You got to be careful not to contribute too much in the volunteer level because it could eat you up. And you got to be careful of that. That's, you got to be watching that.
People are happy for you to say yes over and over again.
So you have to be careful.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I was on the with the Santa Rosa Junior College. We have a organization that helps the agricultural part of it. And I was the chair of that for a long time, but I'm on the Farm Bureau board. I was past president of the Farm Bureau, and I'm on their board still, which is a great organization here in Sonoma County. Yeah. Wonderful advocates for agriculture. Then I'm the district manager / special affairs person for the Gold Ridge RCD, which again, I believe in the conservation work very, very much. And that's a job part, but it's also volunteering some time. But been there for over 30 years. And that's, again, bringing conservation work back to the ranches in the Western County, the Sonoma County area. So that's been a really positive organization as well. Then on the sheep side, I'm the I was president of the California Wool Growers in the 1990s, and now I'm the vice president of the American Sheep Industry, which is a national organization.
So I didn't know that.
It takes a lot of different places, dealing with policies and promotions on the national level. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in D.C. quite a bit for this. Denver is our home base for our national office, so I'm there. We have a full-time staff, but as an officer, you're on the constantly doing Zoom calls and dealing with issues, policy issues. Big with the farm bill, big with tariffs. We talked about the lamb a little bit. Lamb in the United States, 74% of the lamb consumed in the United States is imported. So we're always battling that issue of the amount of lamb that's coming in versus what we could produce. So you're there trying to give back a little bit and doing what you can to help out. So those are important roles. With the Farm Bureau, it's again a local advocacy group, which is does so many good things. I say it's the best insurance policy a person could have. And if you own any kind of agricultural product or raise any kind of agricultural product, you should be a member of Farm Bureau.
Or if you're a local and want to support agriculture in our community, you can also be like an associate member.
You could
member.
Be an associate member as well. Because if we had the amount of time that we spent trying to raise money to keep the organization going and could put that into special interests and pushing issues, we'd be so far ahead. And all it takes is one person. I'm going to give you the plug of just signing, just being a member. That's all I ask for a person. Be a member. You're not going to agree with everything, but when you have that umbrella of an advocacy group in the county fighting and protecting agriculture on all aspects, it's the best thing you could have. And we have a very good active Farm Bureau, which is really good. So that's been a an organization I like to be part of all these years. I went to Chico State, so I'm on their agricultural advisory board. So I get up there once every 6 months for their farm. They have a great school farm, a 600 acre farm with a slaughterhouse on it, as well as all kinds of other an organic dairy. So many great things going on there, and it's so important to have these. We're so fortunate in California to have some wonderful agricultural schools. And since I went to Chico, that's where I like to put my energy. And it's great to be part of that as well. So those are things, as far as that part of it.
And so then, much. And you donate excursions on your ranch and lamb. You do a lot of that as well.
So can people visit? How do they find your products?
Our products our lamb is right now, it's just, when I say now, it's at Whole Foods. And they've been so good to me all these years. plenty of space to supply lamb. It's my lamb and five other ranchers because I don't have enough, so I use theirs as well. And it's all what we call GAP certified. So we're GAPs. We have a third party audit on our ranch every year, auditing what we do, how we do it, and that's really important. So that's not just me telling people it's good and healthy. It's an auditor from somewhere else doing that. So that's where we have all of our lamb products right now. And then we're working into getting some into restaurants as well. And then for our wool products, it's at the SonomaCountyWoolCompany.com, and that is an online. We do that all through our Fantastic. Online basis. It's a great website, and it talks about all the wool products that we make. My business partner Amy and her son Sawyer are back east running that, and then here I wanted to say, with this I wouldn't be able to do it without my daughter Alex. She's the cornerstone of the future, and that's so important to have that coming along in businesses.
Absolutely.
Especially
yep.
family businesses. Yep. So she coordinates all of this marketing the business side, which is not my best forte. So it's nice having that there involved too. So she's been wonderful to be part of the business as well.
Yeah, fifth generation. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us today, Joe. It's a pleasure to have you on and support local
farms.
Go
get them.
Thank you.
I hope you get some time on a tractor.
I hope so too.
Wrapping things up on today's good stuff, and Joe Posey, I mean,
right?
Get some wool. Support
Seriously.
That. Support that farming endeavor. What a smart entrepreneurial person.
I know. I mean, I've got to know him well throughout the years, but when I was on the Farm Bureau board for several years, I got to really know him and hear his story, and was just so impressed with how much initiative he took and really like to save the ranch. Had to really innovate.
Yeah. But in such a smart way.
Yeah.
So if people want to find out more, the website's PoseyRanch.net, and that is spelled P-O-Z-Z-I Ranch.net, not Posey like Buster. But really good.
And I feel like people should, support and also...
Sonoma Wool Company.
I know, we're sort of lamenting too about how much lamb is imported, and I think... You know, people really understood how much imported, because it happens with wine, bulk wine even, coming in. It happens with our produce coming in. I mean, really supporting local is more important than ever.
Yeah, and that was sort of a shocking number, 74%. You think of, how much land there is and how many farms there are, and we can't, compete with that.
Right? I mean, it's pretty...
Buy local.
Buy local.
Okay.
Buy local.
Okay. Speaking of...
And drink local.
So, Tuesday night...
Yeah.
We like a nice local wine.
So, what are you going to do?
Well, I actually recently discovered Kokomo. Well, I've known Kokomo. We've had them on the show and stuff. But I didn't really realize that they make a sparkling wine. So, they Kokomo Blanc de Blanc.
Nice.
From Sonoma Coast. So, sort of near some of these wool, sheep and cattle
woolly
areas.
Woolly side of the county.
Woolly sides. 2019. And I saw it at the Healdsburg Bubble Bar, supports some local bubbles. And
I like that.
It's probably very small production, but I'm bringing it.
Well, I'm going to support Baja Sonoma Wines because I love that so much. So, and it's obviously very close to home, but the Goldfield Devil's Gulch Vineyard Pinot Noir, current vintage is 2023, although I might see if I can dig up an older vintage for Tuesday night. But so... That's a big shout out to Mark Pasternak, who has been a caretaker of Devil's Gulch Ranch Vineyard for years. And, the roots in Marin, supporting our farmers and vintners down in Marin County.
And they've been working with that vineyard an extremely long time.
A long, long time.
One of the first.
A cool vineyard. It is a very unique, steep in places vineyard. And a little woolly in that it's... it's not like this pristine. It's kind of a little scattered in small blocks and then big blocks. And bring your boots. That's all I got to say when you're out there trucking around Devil's Gulch Vineyard.
What kind of boots?
Red Wings.
Okay.
You're
very
gonna
specific.
Have to, you have to go farmer boots. You got to go Red Wings. Yeah. All Red Wings all the way. I was told.
Okay.
I had to get rid of my Sperry red rain boots because those were not farmer-esque enough to be out in the vineyards. So now I wear Red Wings.
Okay, that is so very specific.
It's very specific.
That's it? Like that's the only brand that's okay?
I don't know.
What about Bloodstones? Come on.
Okay. But I think those are more
Those are also imported.
But I think those are a little bit more like winemaker boots, not the farmer boot.
I see.
Farmers wear
the winemakers that pretend they go into the vineyard?
I don't know. Yeah. Okay, you said it. I didn't. So keep me out of trouble.
Okay. I will. But from Sonoma County, I can't even say it. From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.